Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome again to the Highfalutin Ski Bum Podcast. This is episode number 63, and as you can tell, we sound much better today because we are back in the studio. It is your hosts, your pals, your friends, Mario and Brian. Mario, how's it going, man?
It is going better that we're in the studio. This feels like old school. We're bringing it back now.
Yeah, we were keeping it pretty ghetto this summer. We were trying some new things, trying new technology, seeing what we could make work. But you know what? We're going back to what got us to the top.
That's
and
right.
And that is to be in the studio with our high-quality, dope ski gear.
Huh. It's
audio
ski
gear. It is part
this
of our
is
gear.
Ski audio
really?
Gear.
It is part of our gear. So thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Check us out, skibumpodcast.com. Check us out on social media, twitter.com/skibumpodcast, facebook.com/skibumpodcast, instagram.com/skibumpodcast, and Pinterest. We're on there too.
Pinterest, Stitcher,
iTunes. Please subscribe, rate us. We really appreciate that because that's how we get more listeners, and that gives us more ability to reach out and get different information and share with you guys some cool, wonderful information in the ski world. So thank you guys for doing that. And Mario, let's kick it off how we always do.
Well, before we kick it off, what are we talking about today?
We don't want to tease that. We want to just go with it. We're doing. We're talking about boots. We talked about skis last week. You can't go skiing without boots. So this week, all the new boots reviews and information is in. So we're talking about
skis and boots. Boots is good.
Talking about give yourself the boot.
All right, but
before, boot.
That's boot. Ah, but before that. Oh yeah.
The melodious sounds.
Sounds so much better live in the studio.
Oh yeah.
All right, so we got the weekly Après.
Après today. The new name for this segment. We're still getting used to it, too, here.
I can't get used to it.
It's a little bit crazy. I know. I love it.
I pray today.
We need a pray just to make it today. I said a pray. Pray. I said a pray. Pray.
You sing it, brother. All right. So for my I pray today, I am drinking Hill Farmstead, Vermont, Hill Farmstead, Civil Disobedience number 16. So this is a line of dark beers landing on, a bunch in the series. So it's a blend of beers that's aged between 8 and 30 months in oak. Now this tastes like a, there's a bunch of them. So if you go to Hill Farmstead, you'll go up there and you'll see Civil Disobedience and there'll be a number. So what they do is they do the same kind of blending, but they use different ingredients, and they yield different, like totally different beers. This is like a Saison sour beer, really good flavor. It's like a dark beer that wants to be light. So I think
it's
was
the Wayne Brady of beers, I believe.
It's the Wayne Brady of beers. So it's, it was really cool. Very good flavors, very complex. Like you definitely taste there's like some good stuff in there. Honorable mention for I pray today. I prayed yesterday at a beer tasting. Magnify Brewing Company had a beer tasting at Tavern 5.
Oh, our pals at Magnify, yeah.
Yeah, Eric was there. Shout out to Eric. So they had a food pairing. I tell you, the food was great. The beers were good. Just quickly, they had a Search Saison, which is a great Saison they have. An IPL, Uncharted Territory. A Pale Ale, which was really good. An IPA, Vineshine. And then they had a black wheat, which was actually pretty good. So shout out to them, and shout out to Tavern 5. That was pretty good.
Nice.
How about you, Brian?
Well, I'm going with an old favorite here. I'm going with the good old Alchemist Brewery, Heady Topper.
Heady Topper. And I'm not bitching that they don't exist anymore because now we have Heady Topper. We're like swimming in Heady Topper.
We're just, we've found sources. Let's just put it that way. So whenever we need some HT, we know where to go. So, yeah. You know,
I've been reformed. Like, I was so bitter that we couldn't get it, and now we got it. It's like...
You grew up is really what it is.
Yeah.
It's, you know, an awesome, delicious American double IPA, super hoppy, super grapefruity. It's just delicious. They're just masters up there at Alchemist. So,
new brewery, too.
Now we both are drinking Vermont beers because we are getting the festivities. You know, we're doing our own little Jersey version of Vermont Beer Week, which starts September 16th and goes through the 25th. It's a second annual Vermont Beer Week, and they have, you know, all these different tasting events. They have 53 breweries including Alchemist Hill Farmstead, and they, you know, in a very Vermont-y kind of way, they donate 50% of the proceeds to the Vermont Food Bank, which is awesome. So if you go to their website, vermontbeerweek.com, you can check out all the events, everything they have going on. You know, they have giveaways, they have different, you know, beer releases. I mean, it's all over the state, too. You know, they have it in Stowe, they have it at Woodstock, they have it at Smugglers, you know, it's all over the place.
The funniest thing is,
a lot of cool stuff going on.
So the funniest thing on the website, they have, you know, including the world's best brewery according to Rate Beer. And you click on the link, what do you get?
Hill Farmstead, baby.
Boom. Throwing the gauntlet.
See? Which we're drinking today. So we're giving a little love and a little shout out to the good folks up at Vermont Beer Week.
We do it right. We know how to do it.
Couldn't get up there this week or this year, so we're doing our own little version of it.
Yeah, we're doing some plans. There's a lot in the works.
A lot of things in the works.
A lot of things in the works.
Unfortunately, a lot of times they stay in the works, but you know what? At least they're there. Right?
That's right. All right, now we have a new little segment. I know, Brian, this is, you know, one of your boys that you've been talking to.
Our pal Frank, yeah. So we got our little Frank's Bean of the Week.
So we have Frank's Bean of the Week.
So Frank sent us another little gem this week. He sent us Blue Dream. So...
Break them veins! Break them veins!
Yes, indeed. So I can't not laugh when I hear that stupid clip.
I love that movie, too.
It is a great, it is a really good movie. So, Blue Dream. If you guys, we'll post the link in the show notes on Leafly. So, this is a sativa-dominant hybrid originating in California, has achieved legendary status among West Coast strains. Crossing the blueberry indica and the sativa haze, Blue Dream balances full-body relaxation with gentle cerebral invigoration.
It's almost like crossing the streams, man.
In a good way, though, in a very positive way. Yeah, so novice and veteran consumers alike enjoy the level effects of Blue Dream, which ease you gently into a calm euphoria. So thank you again, Frank, for your tip. And unfortunately, we can't get it in the area that easily. But we did find out that being in New Jersey, Governor Christie did add PTSD to one of the conditions that allow medical cannabis for New Jersey residents. So that's at least a big step in the right direction. So
I'll go on my soapbox. My brother is came back from the Gulf, and he had PTSD and had no goddamn help. A lot of opiates they tried to give him. If he had a little bit of Blue Dream, might be helping right now. Same.
Absolutely, yeah. Same. I mean, the more, you know, they tried moving Schedule 1 to Schedule 2 so there could be more medical research. But what medical research they have done on cannabis, it is fantastic for PTSD, fantastic for pain.
There's a lot of companies that are starting now, which is good. They're getting it under, even though Schedule 1, they're still getting it partnered with universities and starting to run studies. So it's showing a lot of benefits, which is good.
Yeah, the walls are definitely falling. And there was something we talked about before the podcast started.
Tear down your wall, Mr. Gorbachev.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying.
There was... I forget if it was the Secretary of Defense, or not the Secretary. It's someone.
Oh, somebody in the Pentagon, right?
It's someone at the Pentagon at TechCrunch Disrupt.
I thought you said it was Secretary of Defense, or we looked it up before, yeah.
Yeah, he is the...
somebody controls a lot of stuff that blows up.
Defense Secretary Ash Carter. And they asked him at TechCrunch Disrupt, because they mentioned Burning Man, that was happening a couple of weeks ago, and should they hire military engineers, you know, if they were there and they were, you know, smoking cannabis, if they're the best person for the job.
Well, you got to assume if I'm at Burning Man, I'll smoke weed.
That's he said that the most important question is it, and the answer is yes. We can be flexible in that regard, and we need to. We are changing that in recognition of the fact that times change and generations change. And by the way, laws change as respecting marijuana and so forth. So when you have someone that high up in, you know, in the government, in the military, who's making comments like this, you know, it's nice to see that their eyes are finally opening and that people are starting to get the real information. And they're not just, you know, listening to the bullshit that was drilled in their head in school when they were little, that all drugs are bad and you're going to become a junkie and you're going to be, you know, blowing people in back alleys and to fix, you know, to get your fix in.
That might happen without the weed, I'm just saying.
The demon already has to be there. You can't blame the weed for it. And that's what they're trying to do. It's an easy target. It's easy to vilify. It's easy to, you know, look at stereotypes and stupid things in the past. But, you know, the truth is really coming out now. People are awakening to that, which is a beautiful thing. So,
well, not only that, they came out and they demystified, like, all the stuff like the cigarette companies did. Now they came out recently with the sugar, like the sugar industry, like how they were falsifying stuff to people. It's like... It's
just teasing stuff in the
just teasing stuff
for the
just, you know,
our future segments, perhaps.
But like they've come out and demystified stuff, which is pretty.
I mean, look at Nixon's former aide saying that, yeah, the only reason we made this, you know, Schedule One was because we couldn't just lock people up for protesting the war. We just knew they smoked a lot of weed. So we're going to make that illegal so we can lock them up.
Dude, I think it was Texas Hold'em and they bet like, let's do it. Seriously. I could do it. I win this hand. I'll make it an illegal Schedule One.
Pretty much. It seems that way.
Sons of bitches.
Yeah. So thank you again, Frank, for your hookup this week.
Frank Gabbage. Shout out to you, man. I love the super super fan.
Yes. So thank you for all your information you pass along. All right.
Now it's time for
there it is.
Ski news time.
Ski news. So the first story up. This is a pretty cool story. A Montana man walks 20 miles for September POW turns.
Damn.
Yeah. So this gentleman here, he I believe he's a blogger or video blogger, David Steele. So he's out of Whitefish, Montana.
Sounds like a porn name, David Steele.
I'm not sure to go that far, but maybe.
Maybe a super a spy. David Steele.
Maybe. So in this, September 9th, he's out there skiing, and it's a whiteout. And
damn,
he had 3 inches of freshies on top of melt freeze crust and was able to ski it. And it says he walked nearly 20 miles round trip and went 5,000 feet.
Damn. Must have been some
before he put his skis, well, before he put his boots on. It was a short little trip, but he, you know what? He looked so happy, like he was having the most fun in the entire world while he was doing it. And end of the day, he did a little climbing, and he got himself, as a present for his hard work, he treated himself to a piece of pizza he had in his backpack.
Nice.
So it was a very good day for Mr. Steele.
I would like to know, like maybe Frank can profile the type of weed that he had on this trip, because you know he had to have a fun day.
He definitely had to partake in a couple of different things because, not much. I guess, you know what, there isn't much to do out there in Whitefish in September, but he was able to find some snow. So, hey, God bless him for that. I got stuck in a rainstorm biking today. You know, that's about as close as I can get to what Mr. Steele had.
That's crazy. Crazy stuff.
Not nearly as cool. That's for sure.
So I'm going to move on because snowed in 6 states and two Canadian provinces this week, and we're at September 14th.
Well, that's why Mr. Steele could go skiing.
That's why he can go skiing. Basically, we have California, Nevada, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, Alberta, and BC, which BC has a tender place in our heart. They all got snow. And you're talking Red Mountain Lodge in Montana had 9 inches. Jackson Hole, 5 to 6 inches already. So our buddy Tommy Moe is getting ready to ski Corbett's already.
Shout out Tommy Moe.
Shout out Tommy Moe. Tommy Moe and his ski thing in Alaska. I keep messing up the name of that.
How dare you?
That's what I do. I mess up names.
Yeah.
This is how I roll. But anyway, yeah. So, lots of snow going out.
Yeah, it's funny too because they also announced that it was August had tied July for the hottest month on record, but September is like whatever. We're gonna drop some snow on you. What do you think of that?
But
it's a beautiful thing.
Tordrillo Mountain Lodge in Alaska.
Tordrillo, that's it.
Yeah, I keep thinking like the driller, the Toro, whatever.
Think about tortellini.
Tortellini.
And you got to drill in the tortellini.
Hey, this fucking guy, Tommy Moe, at Tortellini Mountain.
Forget about it. That's how you get to the regatta.
That's right. Bada bing, bada bang, we get in a fucking helicopter, we're skiing down the mountain.
That's right.
All right, Tommy, shout out to you, buddy boy.
Tordrillo over here. All right, Mom's fresh gravy.
All right there, big guy. We'll
be out. Tortrillo and gravy.
All right,
bro. These pictures are just beautiful. I mean, you know, it looks like it could be Thanksgiving-ish in some of these pictures. You know, that whole kind of dark, you know, snow-covered little scene there.
And now I'm getting hungry. You mentioned Thanksgiving.
Oh, dude, tortellini would be so good right now.
Tortellini and turkey.
Like fresh tortellini with all like misshaped and weird because they're done by hand, not by some weird conveyor belt.
A little gabagool. Throw that on there.
Oh.
A little bit of olive oil, a little bit of gabagool. it's all good stuff. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, what else? What else
all
we
right.
got?
Next up. So, Bariloche in Argentina. They just received a three-day storm delivering 30 inches of snow on September 11th.
God damn.
Yeah, they got pounded down there. Their winter, you know, our summer, their winter. They kind of have an interesting year this year. I mean, some places in Chile closed very early. But Bariloche, they were in a good spot, and they got pounded.
They said it's like the third year that they've gotten pounded, right?
They've had a great streak the last couple of years, yeah.
Awesome.
And I'm looking at these pictures here, and you know, there's some pretty, you know, the people who are skiing here are, you know, legit hardcore skiers, but there's almost nobody there. I mean, you just the one picture you see the guy who took the pic, you know, the guy in the red jacket. Obviously, someone took his photo from behind, and there's just, I mean, nobody else for thousands of feet. I mean, this has got to be unbelievable.
I'm looking at Bariloche deals right now.
By the time you get down there, it'll all be melted.
Dude, I'll go to Germany right to Bariloche.
There you go. Yeah, it says even in the comments here, it said that the mountain was relatively empty.
That's awesome.
Ugh, that's so awesome.
I couldn't imagine skiing in that much powder.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I could, but I wouldn't know anything close to the feel of that.
I don't even know how to ski this. I'm so used to my ice, I don't even know how to ski this.
Our buddy Tommy can understand.
Yep.
I got stuck because I'm an idiot.
It was just a weird circumstance. You know, you were skiing, there was snow in the way, and you lost a ski. It happens.
I wasn't even hammered. What's up with that?
You weren't even hammered.
Didn't have a roadie. Nothing.
Nothing. Terrible. So yeah, Bariloche, if you're down there, give us a shout out. Send us pictures. I'm going to be jealous of you and live through you vicariously.
Nice. So I just wanted to mention, next thing for ski news, now's the time you got to start looking at, like, tuning up your skis and a bunch of stuff going on. So Hino Ski and Cycle in Pequannock, New Jersey, they're near and dear to our heart. We take our stuff there for tuning. We've gotten boots there.
Our pals.
They give us a lot of information. They talk to us. Derek, our buddy, found out a lot of stuff about Derek today. I was telling Brian. He's a really cool guy. But everybody there, they know their stuff, and they're into skiing. Like, they're ski bums that are, like, working to pay the bills, but they are looking to ski anytime, which I like. But anyway, they're having their so right now, through the 17th, they're having their pre-sale and tune-up specials. They have the 2017 boots already in stock, and we're talking about boots today. So it was a good time to drop my skis off, talk, get some inside info on the boots, and they have the world famous ski swap, which is coming up.
World famous.
In this part.
People come from all over the globe.
October swap. October 8th through 10th. So I'll be there because I got some nice pair of skis last year.
So. That's true. Yeah. You made out pretty well last year.
Made out pretty well. I got a good pair of fat skis. Some of my friends, they got skis for their kids and, you know, the whole get up for their kids. So. Definitely, even if it's not Hino's, look for your ski swaps, look for your deals right now, because now is when everything's happening.
This is very true. Yeah, I missed it last year, but I'm looking forward to checking that this year. And he sent me the videos, and it was like Black Friday, pretty much. As soon as they open it up, it's just people just sprinting for what they were, you know, what they needed.
It was a skier and boarders Black Friday, I tell you what. It was wild. There was almost some pushing, but it was like, whoa, whoa. And then everybody just stopped. It was cool.
Yeah, we were joking before. It'd be great to podcast from there and just start heckling people. Oh, you know, going to buy stuff. Good. Be like, yeah, sweetheart, you thinking of fitting those medium sized pants over there?
do like the ski shaming?
Forget about it. Yeah, ski shaming.
Forget. That's when you look roasting, at a pair heckling? Of skis that you want to buy, and if somebody has them, then you shame them to leaving them. so that you can get them.
Yeah.
That's legit. That's allowed.
It's like, you're going to try to ski on those? I don't know about that.
That's like UFC Black Friday rules. You do no holds barred.
Oh.
Get somebody a choke hold because they're holding the skis.
Out. Yeah.
You going to sleep. I'm going to get the skis. By the time you wake up, I'll be in the parking lot. All right, that's not going
to
go down.
Put them to sleep and take those skis, put a different pair in their hands. They won't even know.
They'll wake up like, yeah, I was buying these.
I thought I tapped and paid for these.
I tapped and paid. No, you tap before paying. I'm sorry.
Oh, but I tapped my phone, Apple Pay, nothing?
Can you imagine if everything was like Black Friday was like a UFC match? Like, you just take Toys R Us, put a cage around it, and be like, you're going in. You got to come out with whatever you fight for.
That is not UFC. That's like WWF, like Royal Rumble.
Team UFC.
Team MMA.
If anybody knows of Team MMA, I've been looking for like the current version of that. It's many hours of enjoyment to watch the old versions of it, but...
Are they still doing it?
No, it must have been banned in every country.
Well, because the results were exactly the same every single time. The first guy to lose, that team loses, you know, because like everyone would just like start double teaming guys and crush them.
It was kind of, yeah.
Team Latvia would win.
It was bad. It was like a police brutality like video every time you saw a match. It was crazy.
There was introductions. There was sexy dance.
Sexy dance.
And then like 40 seconds of action.
It was like 15 minutes of like lead up and then 40 seconds and then the commentary after.
Then it was, yeah. Then they had like the after show like they have for all like Game of Thrones or Mr. Robot now. The hour after show to discuss what happened in the 45 seconds of action that happened during the real fight.
These guys, they don't even know where they are. They're like, I beat the person in front of me and that was it. Like you had no idea what was going on. So,
yep.
And then they had another sexy dance and that was it.
And that was it.
And I think they showed Putin at the end. They showed Putin at the end.
Yeah, Putin. That's pretty much required.
And then beep and you show Putin's picture.
All right. And then one more other little ski item here. So Warren Miller Entertainment. You may have heard of them as a ski fan. Their new movie, Here, There, and Everywhere, will be playing in our area, Morristown, New Jersey, on November 2nd. And we will be attending that screening. And it will also be playing in New York City on November 12th. So a couple options there if you are in the New Jersey metro area. We're going to be going to the Morristown one on November 2nd. We're excited. We can't wait. We're going to have a little posse, too, we're going to roll with afterwards. It should be really good. So if you guys are, you know, checking things out, let me know. Let us know. Hit us up, skibumpodcast@gmail.com. Maybe you can meet up with us, have a drink. Probably go to the Grasshopper?
Went to the Grasshopper at Hino's. That's the other reason I checked in at Hino's. They're going to be at the Grasshopper probably again.
Probably, right?
Yeah, they kind of open a bar tab and they just start. That's it. Everybody's drinking up.
Yeah, they open a tab and it's usually different beer. Beer. Jesus, my beer and ski are getting all mixed
together. Beers and skis.
It's a lot of the. You're
drinking skis and you're skiing on beers.
I know. Well, I'm looking at the business card there. It's the ski reps. They're the ones usually there who are like, yeah, I got a tab and I got to make sure, you know, I use a certain amount. It's like, well, we will definitely help you out with that.
That's right.
Yeah, we met. Kyle from Vocal last year. We met the folks from DPS.
His birthday soon, Kyle, right?
Yeah, we're going to give him a shout out on his birthday because we got love for our friends.
That's right.
And yeah, we talked to some good people. None of them were able to step their game up and get us in some skis last year, but that was last year, and this is this year, and things are different. So I think they're going to be fighting each other to see what skis we're going to be demoing during Ski Bum Week.
Well, the good part is, like, we've already been in touch with Warren Miller, Jesse, hooking us up and whatever. Talking to the people at Hino's, they're like, oh, we got to reach out because we haven't heard anything. I'm like, you got to step up your game, man.
Yeah. No, Jesse's awesome. She's been great and really helpful. So we're looking forward to that event. So, you know, we'll have more information as the time gets closer. And we're also going to do a whole trailer episode in the next 2 weeks. We have a schedule for the next month. Like, we're getting super professional here.
Getting organized.
Getting really organized.
And we don't even have an assistant yet. We're still looking out. If anybody wants to apply, there's actually no pay, but there's an assistant position that is constantly open.
You will occasionally get a quarter of a beer, which is kind of like pay.
It's a heady topper.
Yeah.
So it's like three real beers for like a quarter of a heady top.
It's kind of a super beer.
It's a super beer.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Cristal of beer. So, yeah. You know, it's kind of like those are the perks.
SkiBumPodcast@gmail.com if you want to apply.
Boom. Just
do it.
Just put in the subject, assistant, applying for assistant position or something.
Yeah, you know. So we don't lose it.
Yeah. The other thing about these movies, so it's Warren Miller's great because they give away free stuff all the time. So we got free lift tickets to, we did Smugs on free ticket. We've done Stowe. Was the Stowe part of that? Last year we did Smugs.
Yeah, we did
the Smugs. The year before, I think we did Stowe. And they usually give out, I got to say, it's like five or six places in your local area they give out free tickets to. And then they have giveaways and all sorts of stuff. So,
and there was Smugs and Sugarbush in the area. And there may have been something for Killington that we didn't need because we already had season passes there.
Right. But yeah, definitely look up these events. The one in New York City, they give away a lot of free stuff. They, one in Morristown, they give away free stuff too. There's like skis they gave away.
There was trips too. I mean, I don't know if you actually won the trip or you got into a pool with like a few other people from other viewings.
They had like some amazing trips that were like you got into a pool to win the amazing trip.
Yeah, but they were giving Europe, away, they like, were South America. I mean,
right, but they were giving away like the local ski mountains, like a weekend trip or something like that. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
there's a lot of free stuff. I heard the New York City one, they give away an incredible amount of stuff. So some of these places, like where they know there's gonna be more people, they give away a ton of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely check out, you know, Warren Miller and some of the other places, like some of the other movies that are going on. Those are great events.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff coming up. So check those out. And we'll have a list of, like I said, what we're going to and list of trailers. We have them on the website as well. If you go to SkiBumPodcast.com, we have a page on the blog that's all the different trailers that have been released so far. It's constantly being updated, so we're going to, you know, keep checking back and see if there's new ones on there.
We should do that on Pinterest, too.
We could do that, too.
Because that's easy. You just tag the site.
Yeah, we should do that, too. So
I pin it to my wall. I defriend you.
That's not how this works.
That's not how any of this works.
Yeah.
All right, cool. You know what time that is?
Oh, I do.
So I think it's time for our main topic.
It is.
Brian, what's our main topic?
Our main topic is Das Boot.
Das Boot.
So, yes, we're talking about ski boots this week. You know, ski boots are probably one of the most important pieces of equipment you will buy as a skier. You spend all your time in them and you usually keep your boots longer than any other piece of gear unless you have a terrible 80s jacket and you're one of those guys who has to be ironic and wear that. But when it comes to boots, getting that fit is the most important thing. So, you know, like Mario mentioned before, you know, we've got our friends over at Hino's Ski and Cycle, and they are recognized as one of America's best boot fitters. And I know when we went there to get our boots fit a couple years ago, I mean, we were probably there for an hour, hour and a half. Just the process of, you know, put this on and walk around and how does this feel here and here and the measurements and then put in the adjustments. I mean, they really took the time to do it right. And the first time you ski in those boots, it is painful, but you realize that this is, it's a good painful. It's not like the
mine actually were never painful.
Really?
No. I had the best boot fit at that place. Fucking phenomenal boots.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
So getting your boots right is the most important thing you can do. You can always swap out skis, you know, conditions change, you'll need a couple different pairs, but your boots are the ones who will be with you through all of that. So getting it done right is the most important thing.
So before we go further, I want to, you know, Das Boot, like, so we're thinking Beer Fest and the boot. Now, I just want to break us back to Wyoming 2016, earlier this year. We're in Jackson Hole.
Oh boy, here we go.
And we're at Opry, and I'm drinking a boot with this other dude, big drinker. Oh, I'm gonna beat everybody. I'll beat you in a race. Blah blah blah. Who shot the boot quicker? Just saying. And the problem was the technique. He didn't ask and didn't know the proper technique for drinking the boot. Just saying. Just saying. Same thing with your boots. You go for ski boots, you don't know what you want. You ask the professionals.
You got to go with the pros.
That's, gotta go with the pros.
That's the key. They will help you out.
Joes versus pros. You don't want a Joe. You want a pro.
You want a pro.
All right, Brian. So take us through a breakdown of a boot.
All right. So there's lots of different pieces to the boot, obviously. So one of the most important things. So we're gonna go over. Free Skier magazine had a great, in their guide issue, they had a really good breakdown of all the different elements and pieces of what you have to look for in a boot. And I don't want to take all of their, information verbatim. So we'll start off with a couple of the important things. So there's different types of boots, different shell types. The two main ones are a two-piece shell and a three-piece shell. And the two-piece shell is for is the normal kind you see, which has the top hinge point. And that's the one you're going to find across, most of the different manufacturers. And, it's for regular to larger volume feet. There's also a three-piece. And the three-piece, that's something that Full Tilt uses. I know Dalbello, I've seen them use them before. And one of the cool things about those is you can actually get custom tongues made. And those custom tongues allow for more of a custom fit. And those tend to be better for people who have a low volume instep. I don't know if I have a low volume instep. Mario doesn't know if I have a low volume instep. If you go to your boot fitter.
I don't even want to know.
If you go to a good boot fitter, they'll be able to help you out with that. And again,
basically just getting a big fat foot versus a small tiny foot.
It's not even fat. It's more of tall.
Well, it's everything. Girthy. So the height,
Yeah.
There's a term for that, which we'll go through.
Yeah, and then one of the other important things is the canting, which is if you're looking at the boot straight on, you're on the ground looking at someone's toes, it's how it goes left and right. And one of the most important things is you want to make sure your skis stay flat so you get the most grip, you can ski the most properly, the most balanced. And there's different adjustments they can put in to get that to make that work. Another important thing is the last, which is kind of when you're looking down at your ski. It's the width of the forefoot. So you want to make sure, again, there's narrow, there's average, there's large. Got to make sure you have the right one so your feet are comfortable and they are performing as your optimal level.
It's going to shape your foot, so the front of your foot is freakishly wide or small.
Yeah,
that's where it goes, or normal. Then you fit into a normal thing.
And then another one of the really important things is the footbeds. So that's where your foot is on top of, and all boots come boots and shoes and everything you buy has a regular kind of default footbed in there. But if you go on a your best performance, you really need to go and find a custom footbed. And I know, Mario, we've both gone to to Hino's for custom boot fitting.
Custom.
And they create, they mold your foot and they create these, custom pieces that go in and is made just for you. It gives you the arch support that you need and it does make a big difference.
So here's the misnomer. So when I went in for my boots the last time, they explained to me, they're like, well, your foot should sit without having to be clamped down in the boot. So basically, if it's a good fit, it fits tight around your ankle and your calf, and then your foot sits nicely in this bed, and it doesn't move. If you don't have a good fit, what happens is a lot of people, they have to clamp down, and they start really tightening. They almost said it should be finger tight where it just barely is on.
For the bottom two buckles.
Yeah. What happens is when people wrench those buckles over, you don't have a good boot fit and you actually start choking out the circulation on your foot.
Ah, yes.
And then you get freezing cold feet. So this is where the boot fitting really comes into play. But that boot liner, the footbed really helps your boot sit the way it should, and especially if you have arch problems like this, you definitely need custom footbed. They're great.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. And yeah, like Mario said, you know, you don't want to be tightening the bottom down. That's one of those things too. I know, you know, I'm coming from a hockey background, and you know, when you have your hockey skates, they always say you want to tighten the bottom part as tight as possible, and the top should be pretty loose. With ski boots, it's actually the opposite. The bottom, you know, the bottom buckles should be, you know, finger touch loose, while the top ones you can crank tighter. So for me, that was a weird thing. And I know my first pair of boots, I got them at Sports Authority. You know, the guy who was there, he didn't know what the hell he was doing, or he didn't care. Yeah. So, you know, I bought what I bought. And then when I went to High Nose and got a real boot fitting, it made it, I think I dropped at least one whole, you know, ski boot size.
I dropped 2.5 sizes.
That is ludicrous.
I thought it was crazy.
Yeah, but again, what a difference it makes.
The most comfortable boots I've ever owned.
Yeah. So that's very, very important. And another thing that's important is the flex rating too. So like, you know, we talked about with skis last week, you know, you kind of need to know what you're going to do with these boots. You know, are you going to be doing backcountry? Are you going to be doing racing? Are you going to be doing regular resort? Got to know what you want and or what you're going to do. And if you know what you're going to do, then you can find the right tool for the job. So flex, it usually ranges between an 80 and a 130. You can occasionally find like 140s if you're going to find like a real like stiff racing boot. And then there's like full tilt. I think they do different rates, rate range, like 4 to 10.
Yes, I was told like some of the ratings of the boots, like when they talk about flex or they talk about the leans, like all those ratings are custom to the boot manufacturer. So unless you're studying,
it's not
that,
like an accurate scale across.
Right, it's a scale for their manufacturing line.
But like a 120 in like a Dabello doesn't need a 120 in a Technica.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like some of the measurements might be similar, but they're not, and some of the other ones are just totally ludicrous. Like they're based on that brand. So that's where the boot fitters come in. Like they know, like a lot of times they go to seminars and they know how these all fit, mm-hmm. which is interesting, you know.
Yeah, and the rule of thumb is, you know, if you're going to be doing more, you know, park stuff and something, you know, a little, you want something probably a little softer. But if you're looking for something more precise and, you know, you're a little more technical, you want something that's stiffer.
Yeah.
More like a 130. So that's general rule of thumb on that. Other things to talk about, like different shells. I mean, there's a lot of boots now that have, you know, they can do heat molding shells and liners. That's an important thing to look at, too. I mean, really, it's most important if you have, like, a weird-shaped foot or something.
Well, even if you have a normal shaped foot, so there's a shell, which is the outside shell, and then there's a liner, which is inside, right? Mm-hmm. So the liner is the fluffy, you know, part that is between you and that outer hard shell. So the shell they will mold, and that's really kind of cool because it'll mold to your foot and they'll be able to, like, do things to it, which I actually talking to Derek at High Nose, they actually have new process, they use infrared technology where they heat from the inside, and what they'll actually do is be able to blow out the boot. So if you have like, I don't know, a problem, or you have just an odd shaped foot, or it's just too tight, they'll actually be able to, almost blow out the part of the boot around the ankle, a lot of times around the knuckle by the pinky toe. Like they'll be able to blow that out on the boot, so it's very comfortable. You know, and it fits perfect. So he said they've done that with specific boots that are designed for that, but then they've used the same process and, you know, technology they have on other boots, and it works the same. So it's pretty amazing that the people are coming out with that. So they actually heat it up, and they do it like with infrared, and then they do a suction piece, which they have all these machines. That's why you got to go to a good place that has that stuff, you know.
Yeah, because, you know, most people, you know, a lot of people you talk to are like, oh, I don't really like skiing. My feet got cold and it was uncomfortable. Again, a lot of it starts from having a bad boot fitting or just going to the, you know, the general rental place and have them just, they'll just throw you in anything just to keep the line moving.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes, it, again, it can make or break your whole ski experience.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we're looking at the different magazines and, you know, different companies are rating things in different places. I know for myself personally, I'm looking at a pair of hybrid boots for the year because we want to get more into doing more backcountry, side country hiking stuff. And for me, the one that seems to be calling my name, again, I haven't tried them on. I haven't done anything, which, you know, need to do in the next month or two. The Technica Cochise Pro 130s. These are looking tasty. They're nice stiff flex, 130. They just changed the design this year. Used to have three buckles and a power strap. Now they have four buckles, and they weigh less. So those are two pretty important factors.
So the power strap is funny because I always used to think the power strap was just for carrying your boots.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
It's not just a handle?
It is the most incredible piece of Velcro that you have accessible in your entire life. Once you start skiing, you're like, this thing's awesome. It like straps everything in. It's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, it does make a big difference. And, you know, with these new Cochise Pros, one of the things that it talks about now, it's the forefoot is actually a millimeter wider, but it fits tighter around the instep than the previous version. So it's got better foot retention and downhill experience. So I've seen the last year's model for sale right now, and I was ready to pull the trigger back in July. And then I was like, I had some expenses come up. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna hold off. And now I'm kind of excited about the new ones.
Do they have a hike and walk mode too?
They do.
Because that's one of the...
That's another one of the things that a lot of the boots have now. Yeah, especially if you're looking for a hybrid or a backcountry boot, they have the different modes. So, you know, there's usually a lever or something in the back, and it gives you the ability to walk more comfortably. You know, it takes the top part, gives it the flexibility, and allows you to walk, which is cool. So this boot has that as well, because again,
it's especially cool when you're hiking. You know, not just walking around the resort. You're hiking up a mountain.
Exactly, yeah.
You really want that flex to be a little more comfortable. Because it could be a 40-minute hike, hour and a half hike. You know, you never know, depending on how far you're going.
It allows the top part, you know, the cuff, as they call it, you know, to be more flexible and usually move at like a 40 or 45-degree angle. So, yeah, you have that flexibility more like a regular walk than your pimp weird ski boot pimp type walk that you usually have to do.
Pimp boot walk. I like
pimp
that.
Pimp boot walk, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, one of the things, Derek, too, he said, you really got to talk to the boot fitter because when you go in, you might buy the Cochise, right? Now they look at your skis and they're like, well, the Cochise or some of these other ones, I don't know if it's one of them, but the toes are a little bit different. So what happens is you actually have to get a binding that will accommodate, I think it's like a fatter toe. It's like a different shaped toe to be a little bit more comfortable for walking. So you actually have to wind up getting the boot and getting new bindings to go with the boot, right? And then some of the other ones, if you want to do skinning, you have to get a new binding that will do the, you know, to be able to skin with the boot. So he said it's not even that. It's like if you want that, potentially that kind of boot, you might have to get different bindings, even though you're not skinning, just to use that boot. So
I'm 95% sure that those boots, because they're a hybrid, they use the regular bindings. But they do also have with the screw out, is it the bed? What do they call the underneath part? The sole?
Yeah.
Where you can like unscrew it and you can put different ones in too.
Right, right.
So there's a little more flexibility in that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's nice. One of the ones, but he said some of them are, you definitely have to look at the bindings that you have because they might not work.
Yeah.
So that's something to consider when you're going in buying new boots. Yeah, the other thing that I talked to him for a while is like, so boot liners, right? So now you talk about your feet get cold, your boot packing, like you're doing all different things with your boots. You get a standard liner that comes with your boots usually. Sometimes they have an upgraded liner, sometimes not. So they have the regular liner, then there's like something like the Intuition liner, which is a better standard, you know, better than the standard liner, so it's warmer. And that fits in the shell. And then you start getting into all the heated liners. So that's where you got to figure out what kind of what kind of work are you going to do? Are you going to do a lot of hiking? Your feet might get really cold hiking in the boot. So you got to start thinking about these things. Also, you know, if you have poor circulation, you might want to think about heated liners. Heated liners, they have, you know, Hotronic, Thermix. Those are pretty popular. It's where you have an Element heats the bed. They actually have a Salomon that I believe he showed me. It was a woman's boot, but it actually heated from the top and the bottom of the toe, which was actually pretty cool. So those had to be pretty warm.
Now, how does that with the heated ones? Does it? Where's that power source coming from? Like if you're skiing with them, does it still?
So if you get something like a Hotronic or a Thermic, you take a regular boot and you're putting the boot, the footbed is heated, or it's heated, and then you put the footbed on top. So it's an Element that gets heated, and then it runs a wire up, and then you have the battery on the back of your boot.
Yeah, I've seen people who have the battery at the back of the boot. Okay, right. So it's
so
the
those
same,
are heated.
Yeah.
The Hotronic tend to be bigger batteries.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily longer, but they have bigger batteries and a little bit heavier. The Thermic, they have higher-end versions that are smaller. He also said, and I did look at some of the comparisons, some of the Thermics you can run for a longer time. So what some people do is they charge them up, you know, after skiing. They'll, you know, keep them charging, and then they'll put them on, and they'll let them heat up the footbed, and it'll act as a boot warmer slash boot dryer, you know, so to speak, where they're just leaving them running, which is kind of weird, but I guess it works, you know.
Why haven't they made ski boots with solar panels yet? Think about it. Think about the buckles. Make the buckles little solar panels, and then that could power the heat that's heating up your feet.
Why aren't the ski tops solar panels?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Oh, make the whole ski a solar panel.
Clips in. You plug it in. Boom.
Oh, my God. That's a great idea.
Solar-powered ski boots.
Solar panel skis that power your heated boots.
Boom. Dropping the knowledge on people.
We can't release this to the public.
We gotta
steal our goddamn idea.
Kickstarter, Indiegogo, we gotta do that shit.
Oh my God, we're gonna edit this.
Write it up tonight.
God, that's genius.
Anybody that wants to do that, let us know. We'll let you know about our ideas, you know.
Yeah, we're idea guys. We're not doers. We can't do anything. We're pretty lazy. The fact that we did this podcast is like a ton of effort.
It's a lot.
Way more
effort
than anyone ever thought we would do.
Exactly.
Dude, solar panel skis. I like that.
Blowing my mind, man.
Dude.
Blowing my mind. Yeah, I think that could work.
That could totally work. You know, we got to reach out to Elon Musk.
What do you have in your back? They do have, like, back solar panels.
I don't want to carry any other shit around.
Oh, no, you put it on your backpack, and it just hangs there. And it's like a little...
Like a cape?
Like a cape.
Like a cape.
It's a solar cape.
You're like a solar superhero.
You're like Batman skiing, man.
Like a solar superhero. I like that.
Solar superhero.
Saving Earth.
You're solar. Warm. You're solar, the superhero.
Staying warm. Saving the Earth.
Staying warm. The Earth. Oh, the other thing that they said, too, is that heated boot bags are really big. So you're driving to the mountain with your boot bag, plug it in, it's heated, you get out, nice, toasty. Everything that's in the bag, with your boots, gloves, everything's nice and toasty.
Mm.
Not a bad idea.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Could be solar. You could solar it.
Yeah. It just seems like a lot of extra. I mean, is it really that cold when you first put your boots on? Are you really that cold you got to warm your bag up?
Well, it depends. Like, if you put your stuff in, like, the trunk and you got a lot of people in the car, that thing's going to be freezing cold by the time you get out. If you're on a long drive. If you're an SUV, it's different because you have the circulated air. It's still going to be a little colder. But if you have, like, a regular car you put in the trunk, shit's cold.
But, okay, so we're not talking, like, you just skied the night before or the day before. You just threw your bag into your trunk, and it was, like, minus 10 out.
No.
You just got frozen.
We're talking you're on the way to the mountain. You're warming it.
I don't know. That seems like a little bit...
Or before you go.
That seems like you're just a goddamn diva at that point.
Then again, boot dryers are important too.
Why don't you just drive in your boots?
Hold them out the window?
Wear
them out?
No, wear them.
It's pretty dry
out. Then drive with them.
Well, you got to dry them out. That's why everybody's feet get cold.
That's the key. Yeah, that's the beauty of having, you know, when you're staying overnight somewhere, you know, using a boot dryer, putting them in front of the fireplace.
You go on a 7-day. He actually told me, he's like, I told him, like, yeah, you can't put them too close to the fireplace because you'd burn those things down. He actually said some of the boots, some of the people from High Nose were going grass skiing, and they left their boots out in the sun. They got so warped sitting out like 2 or 3 hours in the sun that they couldn't put them back on. Because some of them, if they're heat molding boots, they mold at a lower temperature than some of the other boots that aren't heat molded.
Mm-hmm.
So they're designed for that, like to warp at a lower temperature so you can mold them. So they left them out in the sun, and they said after like 2 or 3 hours, they were like so warped that they couldn't wear them.
Were they in Dubai or something? I mean, near the equator? Because that seems ridiculous.
Isn't that crazy?
That's nuts.
It's regular, you know, but it's that. Because they're lower temperature melt point, you know?
Yeah.
Wild. Oof. Maybe it's like they were made with a glue gun or something. I don't know.
That's crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
So be careful.
Careful out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what other boots do you look at? So you look at the Cochise, which he said were freaking phenomenal. Show me the Salomons, which were pretty good.
I'm just looking at the Cochise. That's it.
Yeah, I mentioned a few others that were popular, but here's the basic thing about going for boots. You got to find a good boot fitter, because one of the things he told me, he said, you know, I said to him, so a lot of this stuff, like, I don't even want to know. Like, I'm not going to know everything. I might know a little bit, but I don't really need to know all this mumbo jumbo about, like, the boot fit, because if you go to a good boot fitter, they should know
that. They know it all, yeah.
And that's part of the thing. The other thing he said is they have all the time, like, so if you go to not as good a boot fitter, you're going to walk in and they're either pushing a line or you're going to go in and say, oh, I saw these heads in the magazine and I want to try heads. So you try them and they put something on you that you're comfortable with. Maybe that's not the right fit or that you're just comfortable with, like you're putting on a shoe, and you walk out of the store saying, I got the best boots in the world. They're highly rated and they fit me from what I think. They fit me well.
Mm-hmm.
You go to a real boot fitter, they put you in a boot that's two sizes lower than that, that doesn't fit well, but they're telling you it's going to stretch at least one to two sizes by wearing it. You might not believe them, but we had the same experience. Like, you go out and these fit great. The other thing is they tell you the boot that you're looking at in the magazine isn't the boot that you need to use for the type of skiing that you're doing. So you tell them you're boot packing, you don't want the you know, the heads that you just bought in that other store in that other scenario, you want these Cochises. You know what I mean? Like, so it's kind of very important to talk to the boot fitter, and that, you know, it's good to look at the reviews, but don't get stuck on wanting one versus another. Like, it's good to have that open conversation with the boot fitter of why they would fit you into a different boot.
Yeah. Again, you need to know what you're going to be doing. And when you know what you're doing, then you can, you know, convey that over to the boot fitter. They're going to help you get into what what you're going to get the best use out of. And that's the most important thing, because that's how you're going to have the most fun, is when you're in the boots that are the most comfortable for what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, you walk in all highfalutin, you want the Cochises, and you're just doing groomers all day, they'll say the Cochises, you're not getting the benefit. Just saying.
That's true. So, yeah. So if you guys have any other cool, any other interesting boot information, tips, recommendations, hit us up, skibumpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll happily take a look at those.
Oh yeah, it's round the horn, or as we call it now,
under the ropes.
Under the ropes.
That's right. All right, Mario, kick it off.
So let's start off with a California investor. Spends millions creating a one-off camper van to take his 4-year-old daughter around the world. Now, this is a pretty cool story because this camper looks badass. This guy, Brian Farron, developed the Kira van for his daughter, Kira, which it looks like a science lab on wheels and like a whole moon lander thing. It's pretty awesome looking.
It looks almost like something from The Martian.
Yeah. So it's a modified Mercedes-Benz Unimog truck chassis, has a 4-door cabin on it, 260 horsepowers, 700 pound of torque. So this thing is built out. It's like a turbo diesel, 50-foot, 2-foot trailer. So it has a full kitchen, workstations, bathrooms, private area for the daughter, a turbo diesel bike, which sounds pretty cool. And there's a rear elevator. So it looks like it's big, but I didn't know there's an elevator. It must be just like a lift drop. But and then they actually have a 6A6 operation. I guess all six wheels like turn almost like a Moonlander does.
Yeah, instead of like four-wheel drive, it's six-wheel drive because it's got six wheels.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. So looks like this thing could go anywhere. Now, I guess this guy built it for his four-year-old daughter so they could travel around the world and experience all this stuff. I don't know if I don't know why. I don't know if she's, you know, sick or something or disabled. But like, it looks pretty badass. This whole thing he built out, and I guess it's just his dream of like him and his daughter to go around everywhere and like see everything, which is weird, but it's cool. So I guess it's like a mobile like self schooling kind of place and. I don't know. Looks pretty badass, though.
Yeah, it's really intense. I mean, like I said before, yeah, it looks like something from The Martian. I mean, it's just so like futuristically high-tech looking. You know, you look at the cabin, there's all these screens and buttons and dials, and it's almost, can it be real? I mean, it is real, but it's so just almost overly done, it looks like.
Yeah, I guess the thing that freaked me out about it is it's done so well.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like some ghetto kind of patching things together. This is all a nice, like, form and everything. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, I don't see a price listed anywhere on this thing either.
Guy probably spent, like, millions on top of millions to build
it. It said millions creating it. We don't know how many, but it's got to be probably close to 10 million, I would guess. Or is that a little ridiculous? That's probably a little ridiculous.
No. I don't know. This thing's gigantic.
Probably at least 5, right?
Yeah, I'd imagine 5 or something like that.
2 computers, full kitchen, bathroom, private area, the bike, the lights. It's pretty intense. So, yeah, we'll post the link to that on the show notes so you can check it out and let us know what you think of it.
Well, it's fantastic. It just seems a little strange.
It does. It definitely does.
All right, so next we have, so everybody knows, like, Apple came out with the new iPhone 7 plans and, like, the details about it.
It's the greatest iPhone ever made.
This is the Trump iPhone. the Trump 7.
The 7T.
7T. So one of the things they came out with are now there's no more earbuds, there's ear pods. So the idea is they're wireless Bluetooth.
Well, I mean, we'll take a step back. So the new iPhone 7 is not going to have a headphone jack.
Right.
The standard 3.5 millimeter that every single device, computer, you know, receiver, phone, iPod, whatever, has always had and has worked wonderfully.
Which everybody has earphones for everywhere.
We're listening. We're both wearing headphones that have that same 3.5 millimeter jack.
Yeah.
Apple has decided that this is old, dumb shit. We don't want this in our new fancy phone.
You guys are cavemen. We should be moving on.
Yes, we're making the newest, most futuristic iPhone ever.
If anybody waits online for this, though, I'm going to beat them.
Of course they are. They're probably in line now already for it.
I'm waiting online for my ear pods, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so they're getting rid of the headphone jack.
Slap the shit out of them.
And they're going to include a pair of earbuds that has the lightning cable. But that means you can't charge your phone and listen to music at the same time.
Yeah, it's just, what the fuck,
but you
right?
can get a dongle that comes with, I think a dongle comes with it, where so you can, it
they
goes into the
lightning
cable.
They are a bunch of dongles. That's what they are at Apple. They're a bunch of dongles.
So they have the dongle that connects the lightning cable and then has the dongle, and you can connect your headphone jack into that. So,
can you listen, or it's only for charging?
Just for listening, but no charging.
For listening, no charging.
So you have to take that out. So you can't listen to music
and charge your phone
at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Bluetooth is far from perfect at this point.
It's going to be good. Like, I have a Bluetooth headset, and it works fine. If you're at the gym and you're bouncing around a lot, it will, like, kind of cut out a little bit once in a while.
And you got to recharge them all the time, too. I mean, the battery life is usually pretty, is not so great on those things.
Here's the thing. I love them. They're great. I got Bluetooth headset. It's, you know, take it to the gym, but you always forget to charge it. And then you want to listen to something, and you're like, oh, shit, I can't listen to music now because I didn't charge it because it only has like a 4 or 5 hour battery life.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. I mean, I got mixed feelings about it because I just think Apple, and this is part of the story, is Apple wants to be Apple. And this is what Apple is. We do things a different way, and we're forcing leading people down this path, which the only thing that's going to save it, I think, is the fact that the new phone, if people don't like the ear pods, they're going to like the fact that the phone is almost indestructible. Waterproof, shockproof, the whole thing. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think about it, Brian?
I'm due for an upgrade, but I will not be upgrading. I have really awesome headphones. I have like 3 or 4 pairs of great headphones that I love. None of them are Bluetooth. They're all wired. And I don't want to just give those up, you know? And I have a 6 Plus still. You know, it's been 2 years. It still is great. I mean, the battery life is, you know, starting to, you know, get a little bit less. But, you know, the pictures still are great. You know, I love using it. I have no problem. I've dropped it so many times, but I have this great case. Haven't had any cracks. So I'm not compelled to upgrade to this new phone.
I don't like the fact that you don't have the option to use your regular headset. Because right now I could use a Bluetooth headset with my current phone. Mm-hmm. Why would I? I just want it to be waterproof. That's all. I want it to be waterproof. I want a changeable battery on an Apple. And I want a port to put in a micro SD card.
Yes, but you said with Apple, which is the ultimate dichotomy, you know.
Yeah.
Which Apple will never do that. You have to go to a Samsung phone. You can get a Samsung, what is it, the one that blows up now?
Exploding 7.
The Exploding 7. You just plug it in and it blows up. They're banning it from airplanes.
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine someone's on the fucking plane and their stupid-ass Samsung blows up?
I would, yeah. I've seen people on the phone while you're trying to take off, and it's like if they're on a Samsung, that thing's going to slap out of their face, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah.
But I don't want that on the airplane at all. I don't want it anywhere in the vicinity of an airplane. I mean, the Samsung 7 looked great. Mm-hmm. That would have been like, I think that would have killed the iPhone because it had everything that the iPhone doesn't have that everybody wants. But the fact that it's exploding kind of kills the mood there, you know?
That's definitely going to help boost Apple sales, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Having the exploding phone. Yeah, the Galaxy Note 7. So the Note's the gigantic one.
Yeah. But they were billing that one as the, you know, it's waterproof, it's shockproof, and it looked like a great-looking phone. Big camera, like a upgraded camera. Mm-hmm. I think the Apple's going to have an upgraded camera, too, now, right?
Yeah, it's got the dual camera on the Plus, on the bigger phone. It has the dual camera, which is supposed to take just...
So what does a dual camera mean, though?
You are asking the wrong person.
Oh, okay. I know it was just it had two cameras that can operate simultaneously.
Yeah. I think...
So I could take a picture... So I could take a selfie of me and a selfie of you so that we could post it on Instagram. At the same time, you can see what we're all doing.
Yes.
Because we need that.
I'm not exactly sure how that works. All right, so the dual camera... Here's a review on it. So it's got a 28 millimeter wide angle lens now, an aperture of f/1.8. So it allows 50% more light to reach the sensor. And there's also a 56 millimeter lens, which Apple says will have a number of implications for photo quality. So the improved aperture and the new lens taken together make the iPhone 7 Plus camera a far more capable tool for both amateur and pro photographers. So I don't know. There's also a 2x digital, not optical, zoom that it has.
Okay.
But I don't understand. Does it take two pictures then with the two different lenses? Or
it might be just the lens, the way it focuses and clarity and stuff.
Yeah.
But I know. You know what's going to piss me off is... If I got one of these, I'd lose one of those ear pods right away. $156 to replace them.
Yeah. Well, that's why the article called it the most Apple product ever.
It's so Apple.
There's no buttons. There's no screen. There's nothing. It removes.
And they're going to make people wait online for it.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure in 5 years or so, it's going to be awesome. But right now, it's almost, again, you have to, someone's got to be the first person to innovate, you know? And a lot of times you look back and criticize and go, oh, I can't believe they're doing this. This sucks. This is stupid.
Dude, they stunk it up with that watch. That watch is the dumbest thing ever. Anybody that has a watch, I have no respect for you because there's no way you still have to have your goddamn phone. So it defeats the purpose of having a watch. Oh, there's an extension. You might as well just have something connected to your phone at that point because it can't be within, has to be within what, like 15, 20 feet? It's ridiculous.
You know what they were talking about on listening to a different podcast, and they were talking about it. Just the people who bought the gold phone or the gold watch, which cost, was it $10,000 or between $10,000 and $18,000?
Yeah.
And the new watch two, there's nothing like that at all. There's like no way to upgrade to like the fancy gold one because they know how dumb it was.
Yeah.
There's like a ceramic one, I guess it's gonna be $1,000, but
I want to see somebody that bought one of those $10,000 watches and laugh my ass off at them because you know what? You should have bought like a Breitling or something real, a Rolex, like a real goddamn watch.
I can assure you, people who spent that much on a watch already have seven other dope watches and don't give a fuck about $10,000.
It's going to sit in their little cabinet or whatever, and I'm glad they wasted that money on it. Good. Good.
As Randy Moss would say, what's 10 grand to me?
That's good.
You know,
I like
10
that.
Grand is nothing.
Keeping somebody else working. Because you're a dumbass. That's fine.
$10,000 freaking.
You know why I'm so mad?
Because you don't have one. Because you're poor. That's why, son.
Because you know how many ski trips that is?
It's true. That's what I'm saying. Trips.
That's ski trips for you too, man.
It's true. Hey, I didn't buy an Apple Watch.
You're getting screwed out of it.
I'm not getting screwed out of nothing. Whatever. Hey.
Happy birthday, Brian. You got a $10,000 watch. You take that right to the store.
I'm going to the pawn shop with that thing.
That's right. This is a Roche Rucot iPhone watch. iWatch.
So speaking of Apple, since we already are, there is something kind of cool coming out now with the release of the, you know, the way Apple ties their iOS releases, they usually do the big number updates on, you know, to be concurrent with an iPhone release. So they're releasing iOS 10 with
the new iPhone 7. They had a problem with it. Didn't they brick some phones?
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I heard they bricked some phones, pulled back the release, and they re-released it. But they still fucked up somebody's phone. Never take the update the day of. At least wait 2 days.
Wait a couple days, because something always bombs out. So one of the cool things they're doing now with the iMessage service is that they're going to allow some third-party apps to work with iMessage. And one of these is Circle. And what Circle is, it's a Bitcoin wallet. So this will allow you to use iMessage on your iPhone to send Bitcoin to somebody instead of having to, like, get the app. You know, if say you're a new user and you want to get somebody involved on it, you can tie in your Circle app to your iMessage and allow you to send money to like that new user to kind of get them started on it, to get them playing with it. Which is really cool because there was a time back in 2014 where Apple was kind of anti-Bitcoin, removed all the wallets from the App Store. You know, they've slowly kind of warmed up to it. You can get a bunch of different wallets and, you know, Coinbase and blockchain, all those now. But now this is a big move to actually allow it to work within iMessage. So this is going to be – this could be a pretty killer app for the Bitcoin community, which is pretty cool.
Well, I have an iPhone, and I generally hate Apple because I think they're not doing what they should with the iPhone. I think this is the first sign they're doing something right because they should have done this a long time ago.
Because I know the Apple Pay was a big deal when it came out. I think I used it once. Like, oh, cool, it works. And then I never used it again.
I did the same thing. I used it once to see it works.
Yeah.
But they were losing market to Samsung Pay and the other Pay. So now this gives them... Hey, you know, nobody else is doing the Bitcoin Pay, like, you know, partnered with something that's already out there. So
yeah, and Circle is very established. They're one of the best known places to purchase Bitcoin if you want to just have a, you know, just want to mess around with it and getting, you know, you do have to, I think, tie a bank account to it so you can send money to Circle and have your Circle wallet and
anonymously Bitcoin. Untrackable.
Ish.
So if you're buying something in the mail that's maybe like you know, not it's legal but not legal in your state, that it might be a good way to buy that.
It's still probably one of the best ways to do it. Yeah,
just saying.
Yeah. So this is going to be cool. I'm excited to just kind of get in that and, you know, download that and play with it and see how it works.
You flip it, smack it, rub it down.
Oh no. Or oh yes. So yeah, I'm looking forward to checking that out, and we'll have more on that once we get that rolling.
I'm glad they did that. I like what they're doing with the app. I just I don't know if I buy into the waterproofness of the 7. I don't buy into the rest of it.
Yeah, the headphone thing is it's a bummer. Again, and you know what? Probably in 5 years we'll be like, can you believe we actually gave a shit about that? Like, Bluetooth is the best. Like, we all use this, but
what they're gonna have is a connection that fits into, instead of charging, we can plug it in, like you said they have.
The dongle, yeah.
They're gonna have the dongle.
They have the dongle.
Everybody's gonna dongle. Mm-hmm. We're gonna be a country of dongles.
But everyone's gonna, all the dongles are gonna like last for a day.
Big heaping dongles.
Probably 2 months they're gonna work, then they're gonna break, something's gonna happen, you have to buy a new one.
What am I gonna do with my Beats?
Apple bought Beats. This is perfect. This is exactly what they want.
But they already sold me the Beats with the Kinect and with the thing that doesn't work with the 7.
That's the old
Can
busted
I return
Beats.
Them?
Nope, you gotta get new Beats.
Sons of bitches.
Throw them in the garbage.
And I gotta stand online.
Right
like
to
the
landfill. Right to the landfill.
That's right in there. Right.
Increase the pile.
Actually, they had a whole story on the news. They were talking about how now it's coming out because, especially with, like, you know, kids going back to school, a lot of parents send water actually is outpacing soft drinks in sales. So they're saying they're actually recognizing that the plastic bottles that water comes in is causing a very big problem for the environment. So while all these people think, oh, I'm saving the environment by using a recyclable plastic bottle, that shit still needs to be recycled. So own up and be like a real fucking person that wants to save the environment and use a reusable cup.
I think we're both using reusable water bottles right now.
Exactly. So they're telling a lot of those school kids, and if you're listening, you have a school kid that's going to school, you know, a lot of schools are actually putting out notices, please send your son or daughter with a reusable water bottle so they can just refill it. Because if you have, like, filtered water, might as well use that instead of buying the Dasani or the, you know, whatever other brand of bottled water out there and taking that. You know, while you're saving the environment, yelling at me for not recycling, you're using a shit ton of plastic. So
yeah,
just saying.
I hear you, man.
So that was my rant for the day.
That was good, right? That felt good to get that all out there, didn't it?
It's like taking a big dump.
Yeah.
Which I've just realized I've been doing wrong. I need the you know, that thing where you put your feet on so you get at a better angle. Have you seen that? The potty stool.
You need the Japanese toilet with the chutes of water. That's the best.
The bidet. It's like a whole, it's like a festival.
The
after you
Japanese
take a dump.
Toilet, that's the way to go, yeah.
It's like you take a dump, it's like, woohoo, it's like a party,
get the
man.
The warm sprayer, it's like confetti into your bum. It's beautiful.
That's awesome.
All right, so this is now this definitely goes into the category of this is why we can't have nice things. So after quote-unquote lewd acts, New York City's free internet kiosks disable web browsing. So there's this company, Link NYC, and they've been replacing New York payphones with these, you know, free Wi-Fi access tablets that can be used by anyone who doesn't own a mobile device. But they announced today, which this article is from actually today, 9/14, that... they will now be eliminating
Why so?
Web access and having time limits on there. Hmm. Now, it still offers free calls, maps, and access to emergency services. But one of the problems was that certain vagrants were watching pornography and masturbating while using these said devices.
How do you know that wasn't an emergency?
Apparently, it was a very... the biggest emergency ever. So I love, like, this is just, I just
there's a condition that could be deadly. Detrimental sperm buildup.
Terrible for your prostate.
It is.
You know, so they're just fighting off prostate cancer.
They are.
So I love this quote, and I can just picture this person. A Murray Hill resident was horrified when she witnessed vagrant masturbating at one of the kiosks while walking her dog, which I'm sure was like a Pomeranian or some tiny little awful dog.
Oh, that's awesome.
On Sunday morning, the New York Post reported Sunday.
I dated a girl in Murray Hill.
The Post reported
she had a dog, though.
The Post reported that horny homeless men have been plaguing the Link NYC station since they debuted in January. Imagine you're just it's like February 3rd. It's like 4 degrees out, and you're like, yo, I gotta get on this device and start beating off.
Excuse me, sir. I need some information.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Oh, it's awesome. I know somebody that lives in Murray Hill. She doesn't have a dog, so I'm wondering if she's seen it.
Probably.
Probably.
I know I had a coworker because, you know, the company I worked for, they had an office right in near Murray Hill, that section of Manhattan. And the Museum of Sex is right there. It's like 6th and 28th or whatever. And she said, you know, she got there early in the morning, like probably 6:30, and she's walking to work from Penn Station, and she saw some homeless guy just beating off in the window of the Museum of Sex.
Wow. Well, that's flattering.
You got to do what you got to do.
You're a Museum of Sex. You've flattered the city where you have people beating off to your displays.
Apparently that's
flattered. Thank you, homeless people, for beating off to...
Just validating the power of the exhibit.
Exactly. They're part of the living art.
That's true.
Right? How do you know they're not part of the exhibit, right?
We're all made of stars.
Just saying. just saying. Just spitballing out there.
So, yes, that definitely falls into the this is why we can't have nice things category.
Well, maybe you shouldn't allow porn to be available on these kiosks. Just saying.
Yeah. I know I have been guilty of some shenanigans at the Apple Store. Where, you know, back when it was topical a few years back, I did pull up the Two Girls, One Cup and kind of left it there to just play for...
Mommy, what's that?
They really like chocolate ice cream.
Oh, my God.
Yes, they do.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. This, it's gone an ugly direction this week on the Under the
Ropes.
If
they had porn on an ATM, people would be beating off to that, too.
Taking out more... What if you, like... It took your money. You know, you're at the ATM and you're pulling out a 20. You got to put the 20 right back in.
That's called a peep show.
That's called a peep show.
That would be called the peep show. They have.
But why else would you have porn on an ATM? I mean, they wouldn't just randomly just have it have it.
It's funny. It's like it's going back to the peep. It's all back to the old school stuff.
It's pretty much bringing it back.
This dude's doing a free peep show.
Free peep show. God, could you imagine like just waking up and you're going to get a cup of coffee and you just like see like some dude like I mean I know myself
going for a run you're at like run in the morning just like oh like
just get your wireless Apple earbuds in you got like the Rocky theme playing you're like
and you bump into this dude just and beating him.
Now I'm sure so many people would get upset and angry. I would start laughing my ass off. I think it'd be. I would tell everybody I knew about what happened. I'd be laughing. I think it'd be the greatest thing ever.
She bumped into this person.
Still hysterical. As long as I didn't get.
What if it was at the moment?
No.
That you don't. Then I don't think
now that's a problem.
See, that's
now
a
that's
problem.
Not funny.
Yeah, that's right.
That's just nasty.
There's like several showers involved. Like yeah. There's like yeah.
No, there's like skin grafts involved. Like yeah. You just gotta just like
burning
shave
your clothes,
it off.
Maybe burning yourself.
Yeah, yeah you don't want. You don't want any part
just
of that.
Jump in the Hudson and clean off. It's clean.
No, that's what you got to do. You got to take extreme measures. In front of a fire hose, just like spray me. Just I don't care how many layers of skin come off.
You got to wash off in the Hudson. It's like getting more load on you.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
It's not. It's not a beautiful thing right there.
It's not a crisp, clean lake.
No.
A beautiful stream that runs down from the mountains.
You definitely need to purify yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka after that one.
Yeah.
All right. And then one final story. So getting away from the lewd, disgusting acts at the free iPad machine things in the city.
Which I'm going to look for now that you told me where to look for them.
I'm going to hang out there all day. Just watch what happens.
Look on Instagram.
You know,
Skibo Podcast on Instagram. We might have some pictures from there.
Hashtag Ludax. Well, it's like that documentary, The Bridge, they did a bunch of years back where they just filmed the Golden Gate Bridge and they showed people like jumping off and their whole like process of like, they're like walking back and forth and pacing and like they're questioning themselves and they just, you know, people just jump.
Wow.
So it's almost like instead of the bridge, it's like the iPad.
The kiosk.
The kiosk.
Yeah. Just film. We should do a documentary. The kiosk.
It's not a bad idea.
How do you know that's not a Banksy right now? And he's just getting people to beat off. That's performance art.
Oh, that's true.
Just saying. Banksy hits again. He strikes again.
Banksy wins again, yeah.
Pow, right in the Banksy.
Yeah.
Pow, right in the Banksy.
All right. Final story. So, we're still in New York here. Different part of New York, though. We're up in Buffalo. So, I don't know how many of you guys have heard of Ken Block. He is a race car driver. He's a rally driver for Ford. And he has done this series called Gymkhana. And the original one must have happened like 10 years ago or so. And he's one of the most amazing drivers ever. And he takes his car and does all these, you know, amazing like precision tricks and drifting and
cool
stunts.
Shit.
And yeah, so this one, he took it up to an industrial park. And we'll put the link on there on the website. But I mean, he cuts in front of a train. He's doing these like, you know, donuts around these cones. And at one point, like the back wheels, like he's on a, you know, there's a platform,
like a pier.
Pier, and there's the water there, and the back tires almost go off the edge of the pier. Like I said, he jumps, goes in front of a train. It's insane. I mean, the driving is absolutely insane. I would pay. I mean, I would if I could live the life I want to live, the life of the dream 6-year-old life where I'm like a race car driver, I would spend tens of thousands of dollars learning to drive like this because it is the coolest thing ever. I would love to do that. That would be my job. I'd be a ski bum in the winter and a race car driver in the summer.
Nice.
That's my 6-year-old dream that I have.
I was talking to Derek today at Hino's. He bought a race car at one time. Crazy ass life he's leading.
Technically, any car can be a race car.
Yeah, he said this is a real race car.
Like
pretty fucked up. He said he had money at a time that was just rolling in. He's like, bought a house, a race car, and some other shit, like all in the same month. I was like,
that's the way to do it.
Wow. You know, when you got it, might as well go baller.
That's true.
BAF, baller as fuck.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll post the link on that to the on the website and check it out because it's pretty damn cool. I got to tell you.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. I liked it.
Yeah.
That's the only good thing going on in Buffalo. There you go.
Aw, especially this week, right?
Boom.
Boys are playing.
My boys are playing
Jets
up there.
Jets and Bills, Thursday.
Jets and Bills.
By the time this podcast comes out, that game will probably already have happened.
Yeah, that's right. Tomorrow night.
We will find out.
Yeah. Yeah, and I lived up in Buffalo, so I got, you know.
It's a beef.
I got an axe to grind. Let's put it that way.
But didn't you also learn to ski there?
I did.
See?
Technically not in the city limits of Buffalo. So, bam, not in Buffalo. Upstate New York.
The shadows of Buffalo.
Shadows of Buffalo. Hidden Valley and Kissing Bridge.
Aw.
Hidden Valley is a badass mountain.
Yeah, it got rated, I think, top 10 in the East Coast, right?
A lot of fucking moguls. And when you're learning, you get on the mogul run, you're like, God damn, I'm going to shit myself. It was horrible.
Trial by fire, baby.
Yeah, it was.
All right.
This is how we learn.
So I guess that's going to wrap it up for the week.
Yeah, good week.
Nice being back in the studio. We're going to be doing this more often, so don't you guys worry. We do have to figure out YouTube Live when we cannot be in the studio, but this is going to be more the norm than it has been for the last couple months. So thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Please check us out, SkiBumPodcast.com. We'll have all the show notes there. Great information. You can get all of our social media contacts there. Or you can also just go right to them from twitter.com/SkiBumPodcast, facebook.com/SkiBumPodcast, instagram.com/SkiBumPodcast, and also check us out on Pinterest.
And remember, stay high, stay salutin'.
Oh, yeah. See ya.